Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is the Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system, which to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Kuf Mem Zayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei topic heading, and we read, Hayotzei betalis mikupelis munachas al ksefa, one who walks out from one domain into another, which is in the realm of the Isur Hoitzah, and he goes with a talis, that's mikupelis is folded and placed over his shoulders. We'll see more about that as we get into the Gemara. But in general terms, we're going to be referring to the wearing of garments in a non-characteristic fashion, in more of a, we'll call it a burden fashion. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, Omar Rav Yochanan, Hayotzei betalis mikupelis, munachas loy al ksefoy b'shabes, one who walks out with a folded up talis. In other words, as Rashi says, after he cloaked himself in his talis, a talis we'll say is, in our sugi will be very similar to what we today call a talis. It's a large rectangular piece of fabric that we associate a talis today with the talis we wear for davening with tzitzis on it, a four-cornered garment, that after he cloaks himself in it, wraps himself in it, he places part of it over his head, as Rashi says, and in this case, the bottom extremity of the talis, he raises and folds up and places it, the bottom extremity, he folds it up and places it across his shoulders, maybe giving the impression of a type of scarf at this point, and then walks out from his house into a public thoroughfare in that fashion. The Gemara says, Chayov Chatos. In other words, this is a Torah-level violation of Hoitzah, and if he does so unwittingly, B'shogeg, he'd have to bring a Chatos, a sin offering. We now have a Tanaic source. In this source, the source is brought in to support what we just said. The diamonds that you see highlight two types of businessmen. One, the first are Sochere Ksus, are people who are clothing vendors, and later a Chenvoni, we'll say a grocer. And in the source, we'll be speaking about their walking out on Shabbos with different items, even though they're not held in his hand, but nevertheless, it's the normal way of their carrying the respective items that results in a Shabbos-level violation, a Torah-level violation of Shabbos, of the Isur Hoitzah. So without any further ado, let's see the examples. Sochere Ksus, or the abbreviation is Tanya Nami Hochi, Sochere Ksus, Hayotze Betalisos Mikupolos, Umunochos Al Ksefam B'Shabbos, just like we finished describing, Chayovin Chatos, Velo Sochere Ksus Bilvad, and the prohibition is not only regarding clothing vendors, when that is their normal way during the weekdays of carrying around different garments, namely folded up and placed around their shoulders, but it applies to everybody. Elo kol odom, it refers to anyone. Elo shedarkon shemochre ksus, shemochrin lotseis kach, but rather it's the normal way of clothing vendors to wear W-E-A-R, their wares, W-A-R-E-S, that way. V'chenvoni hayotze b'mois hatsurin lo b'sadino chayov, a grocer who goes out on Shabbos with coins that are tied in his sadin. Sadin literally is in modern Hebrew, a sadin is a sheet, but it's an article of clothing that the grocer would wear, maybe something like an apron, possibly, and he would tie coins in his garment and walk out with that. If this took place on Shabbos, Chayav Chatas. V'lo chenvoni bilvad omru elo kol odom. It refers to everybody as well. Elo shedakos shel chenvoni lotzeis kach. Ha ratonin yoitzin besudrin sha'al k'seifon. This is featuring a practice that is allowed. Rashi explains the ratonin in a way other than the way Tosfos explains it. Tosfos says the ratonim are harahatonim, like runners, delivery people, whereas Rashi says al shem mokom, it's people that come from a certain place. So the ratonin would wear the sudrin. Sudrin is a sudar, generally is a head turban. In this case, the edge of the turban came down to their shoulders. So that's the sudrin. Yotze v'sudrin sha'al k'seifon. That's allowed for lo ratonin bilvad omru. Not only them, elo kol odom. Anyone can go out like that. Elo shedarkon shematonon lotzeis kach. It's their practice to go out like that. Amar Rav Yehuda, Maisa b'Hurkinis b'Noi Shura b'Lezer ben Hurkinis, an incident involving Hurkinis, the grandson of Rabbi Lezer, the son of Rabbi Lezer, whose father in turn was Hurkinis. You have a grandson named for his grandfather here. Shiyotza b'Sudar Shal Ksefer b'Shabbos. He went out with this Sudar that was resting on his shoulders. Ela she nimo krucha lo betzbo. However, there was a nimo, a string that was attached to the sudar and also wrapped around his finger. And the idea behind that is that it shouldn't fall off from his shoulders, so as to avoid a situation where something that would fall off, you'd end up picking it up and carrying it arba amos, four amos in the rishus aram. So we have this preventive measure taken. Ukshebo hadover lefnei chachomim, omru, when this story came to the awareness of the chachomim, they said, afilu ein nima krucha lo betzbo, even without the string attached, it's still okay to wear the sudar with the edges around one's shoulders. The general rule with regard to this whole topic, as we mentioned in our introduction, is wearing clothing as one would normally wear clothing, that's okay on Shabbos, called derech malbush. However, wearing them in an unusual fashion gives the impression that you're simply transporting the clothing, which makes it into a masui, and hence a burden, and hence it would be forbidden. Donash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda mishmei Rav Chisda. The Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Chisda, halocha afal pi she'ein nima krucha lo betzbozov. He rules like the Chachomim that appeared at the end of the previous Tanaic source. Ula iklo lebe Asi bar Hino. Ula went to the home of Asi. Bo'u mine ma'u lausos mar zev b'Shabbos. When Ula, who was a major Torah figure, visited there, so it was an opportunity for the hosts to ask a question. So they asked, what is with regard to the making of a marzev on Shabbos? Now, later, the Gemara will ask the question, my marzev, two lines from now. The answer is going to be in the clothing realm. We might point out that a marzev without any qualification is a gutter, like a roof, a drain gutter that funnels water off the roof. That's a marzev. However, we're not talking about that in a literal form right now. Obviously, making a roof gutter would be strictly forbidden on Shabbos. That everyone knows. But they're asking something else. So they ask, what about making a marzev on Shabbos? Omar luhu, hachi omar Rabbi Eloi. Ula says Rabbi Eloi rules, also lasos marzev b'Shabbos. It's also to make that. My marzev, what is a marzev? Omar Rab Zera, kisi bavlaisa. we glance at Rashi, he has a slightly different gusa in our Dibur Masl Kisui Bavlaisa. What does that mean? Shemesalkin Bigdeim Min Aretz Kishehen Arukim. If they were wearing some type of very long article of clothing, and it would reach the ground, the Kiflin Oisun Klapim Mala. They would take the lower extremity of the garment and then fold it upwards. Umachzikin Oisun Al Yedei Chutin. And they would then tie it into place with strings or ribbons. V'hainu min kis ukemo marzev. If you have a good imagination, so the garment extremity that's folded upwards forms a, we'll call it a U-shaped arrangement that might remind you of what a drain gutter would look like. A semicircle unit. So that's the point or the commonality between our article of clothing that's folded upwards and the traditional marzev. So Rabbi Zera explains that the marzev here is the kisi bavaisa as we saw in Rashi. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yirmiyah have a Yosef kamed Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah was seated in the presence of Rabbi Zera. Amalei hochi mai. The Gemara is not clear in what the question is. He says, Hochi, this way, what is the din? So Rashi explains what Rabbi Yirmiyah was doing. He was demonstrating different ways of folding garments and asking Rabbi Zera, is this a marzev? Does this fall under the marzev category or not? And hence with the practical application, we'll call the practical nafkamina, would be, is it mutter or not to go out this way on Shabbos? So Rav Yirmiyah is demonstrating different ways of folding garments while being worn and asking, what's the din with regard to this? Omar le osir. So Rabbi Zera will tell, well, what you just showed me is osir. V'hochi mai, what about this way? Omar le osir. And Rabbi Zera answers osir to that as well. What's interesting about this kind of Gemara is even though there's no illustrations accompanying the Gemara is a very call it lively, living organism, if you will. It's a lively work where you can see how one tries to get to the bottom of things in halachic analysis, as opposed to other works that present halacha in a factual form. Here you see the development of the halacha and how the greats went down to the fine resolution of matters in even demonstrating different behaviors and getting answers. So that's the practical application of this kind of Gemara for us, that if you have a question and there are different angles to the question, you should investigate every different possibility and get to clarity. Amar Rav Papa, Nikod Hai Klola B'Yodach, accept the following rule. Literally, Nikod is to grab hold of, take the following klola as a rule in your hand. In other words, we say rule of thumb, here it's a rule of hand. Kol Adaito de Lichnufi Oser, any folding of garments, which is for the purpose of, Lichnufi is to gather up and Rashi says something interesting. He adds a word here. Lechnufi says, "Shem esukan tamid, lahamid kipulo le'olam," to fold it up in a way that it should remain that way permanently. That is something that has to be looked into as the issue of permanence, the main factor. According to Rashi, it seems to be a major factor. But any folding up that's done for that. Is usher. The Gra in the O space points out the Rambam that says that he adaiti lishnufi shelo yikru'u or shelo yislach lechu, where you're folding it up so that it doesn't tear or doesn't get dirty, and that would be certainly a consideration with regard to a very long article of clothing, which the explanation of the Rambam is different than Rashi in that it might very well be a permanent, a temporary folding up just when you're going outside and you don't want it to get soiled by the soil, so you would fold it up. That, anyway, is forbidden on Shabbos. Kol delehisnaos, if the folding, and here Rashi Rashi really becomes much clearer in this. He says, the spouse is lefi shah, which means something that's temporary. It's a temporary, and literally lesnaus is to look nice. The proper way of wearing the garments. That if you have a garment that's very long and you're folding it upwards without, as far as Rashi is concerned, without tying it into place, but simply because it would look nicer that way, then shari, then it's allowed. Even though it's folded upwards, but you're doing so because it looks better that way, and you're not tying it into place, then it's okay. Ki ha de Rav Shisha bray de Rav Idi, misnoi besadino have like Rav Shisha, who took this into consideration when he was wearing his sadin. Rashi explains, misnoi besadino, achash nisatef oye misakno al gufo miashko ubechol komar. After Rav Shisha put his sadin garment on, he would then adjust it and so that it should sit well. And this line of Gemara is referring to the chol, the weekday. Klomar alma de urche b'hochi. The emphasis on weekday is that this is the way he always wore it. V'huadin l'shabbos. And since he wore it that way on a weekday, the same halacha would apply to, the same practice would be allowed on Shabbos. As we continue in the Gemara, a triangle form appears, and on the side under the Mivneh, we've indicated with the triangle featured, Gimel Girsos B'Maiseshirim Rebbe Vitalis Al Kosef. Three versions of a story involving Rebbe and a talis on one's shoulder. So, the Gemara. Ki also Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he said, when we see in the Gemara, ki also Rav Dimi, it's a reference to his, he was a traveler between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. So when he came to Bavel from his travels to Eretz Yisrael, he told us, Pama chasyotza Rebbe l'sodeh, once Rebbe went out into the field, the hoyu shnei tzidei taliso munochim al ksefo. And the two sides of his talis were folded up onto his shoulders. Omar Lefonov Yehoshua ben Ziruz ben Chomiv Shel Rebbe Meir. So this gentleman, Yehoshua, who was the son of Rebbe Meir's father-in-law, he, Yehoshua, said to Rebbe, Bezulo Chiev Rebbe Meir Chatos, the way you're wearing your talis, is it not so that that Rebbe Meir would say that you would be chayav a chatos, that on Shabbos wearing it in such a way is not derech malbush, but rather derech masui, resulting in a Shabbos violation. Omar lei, so Rebbe reacted and said, Diktek Rebbe Meir ad kan? Wow, like Rebbe Meir was so stringent and deliberate to this extent. I thought, as Rashi says, I thought this was quite allowed, and now you're telling me to the other extreme that it would be chayav chatos. So shilshel Rebbe talisa. Rebbe accepted this point, and he lowered it. Let us take a look at Rashi. Diktek Rebbe Meir ad kan. We're looking at Rashi that's almost halfway down the Rashi commentary. B'tmiha. This is with read with a tone of wonderment. L'chayev chatos b'dover hadoim lo smuter kozeh. What Rebbe Meir would say, this kind of wearing would be chayev chatos that appears to be a muter way. She'eno mikupeles v'achoreha noflin l'mato mikseifov. The talis isn't rolled up, it's the bottom of it is still extended downwards. That noflin literally means falling downwards, but it means he's wearing it in an extended fashion where it's falling downwards, mikseifo, from below his shoulders. All that Rebbe was doing was the sides of it were folded up onto his shoulders. So Rebbe Meir did not approve of that. Or describe that as being a Shabbos type violation, and Rebbe accepted that. The Gemara continues. Ki also Ravin Omar. Ravin commented on Rav Dimi's report and said, Lo Yehoshua ben Zeruz Ave, it wasn't Yehoshua that spoke up, Elo Yehoshua ben Kfusoi Hoyab. It was a different Yehoshua, Chasonu Sherebi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva's son-in-law, Omar, and he said, he is the one that said to Rebbe the same thing we saw before. Bezulochie Rebbe Akiva Chatos? Did Rebbe Akiva not Mechayev a Chatos in the way you are wearing the Tatlis? Omar lo. So Rebbe responded the same way, different name though. Dikdek Rebbe Akiva? Ad Khan? Rebbe Akiva is so stringent. Shilshel Rebbe Talisoen? Rebbe lowered the talis off his shoulders, having it extended, worn loosely, we'll say, or extended downwards, not only from behind, but from the sides as well. We're giving what we might call a cape look to it. Ki also Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Omar Nish'al Itmar. We glance at Rashi, Nish'al Itmar, lo ira maisezela Rebbe, the incident that we saw described by Rav Dimi or Ravin did not take place. Elo shalu lefanav, rather, a question was raised to him, to Rebbe, presented to Rebbe, ma lotzeis bo, can you go out with a talis folded up, ubikesh lahatir, and he had an intention to say that if it's folded up on your shoulders with the back side extended downwards, it's okay. Asha omru lefonav mishum Rebbe Meir chayev chatos, until there were those present that said in the name of Rebbe Meir that would be forbidden. The ihu savar, Rebbe held hayol v'eino mikupele, since it's not folded upwards from the bottom extremity, folded up on and placed on shoulders, it's okay. Sharei achorel hoyu noflim lamatim in safe of the bottom was in fact extended below the shoulders. Ela shitzidel hoyu menochem al kseifov. All that happened is that the sides were folded up on the shoulders. So Savar Derech Malbushu Rebbe was of the impression, of the opinion, that was the normal way of wearing it. This particular Gemara brings to mind the way many traditional people wear their talis, that's worn for davening, in a form very similar to what's described here by Rebbe, and then to wear it that way out into the streets on Shabbos. The Mishnah, Harochets b'mei ma'ara u'v'mei teveria, v'nistapeg, one who bathes in these bodies of water, mei ma'ara, Rashi describes as mei mikveh mekura shulcham. It's a covered mikveh, that's in as opposed to an outdoor mikveh, this is in a covered area. The ein chomo yotzitz, because of the roofing, the heat develops. It's an enclosed area, so the heat is prominent. Since there was the heat factor here, so it becomes allowed only as it's not allowed per se, but only if one did it, post facto type thing. So one who bathes in the Mei Mara, Uva Mei Teveria, the Meforshim point out that Mei Teveria is something that is allowed lechatchila, and that's the traditional hot springs of Teveria. So the point of the Mishnah, though, is to focus more on the towel, and that's what it goes on to say, v'nistapeg, and he dries himself, afilu be'eser alon tios. This is one person who used 10 towels to dry himself. The point is that each towel, if you're using so many of them, each individual towel absorbs very little water, because the water that was on the bather's body is distributed amongst 10 different towels. So none of the towels are really saturated with water. Nevertheless, lo yevim biyodo, you shouldn't carry them by hand. Let's take a look at Rashi. Afilu besarantios, sadinim shemekanchen bohen, towels that one dries himself with, v'sipeg bohen zeh harzeh, and he dried himself one after the other. For Rabu Sahi, there is an extreme chidush here, point of novelty. Delonefishi maya b'chol chad, in any one of the towels there is very little water. Afilu hachi lo yovim biyodo b'soch beso, he shouldn't carry them around even in his house. Afilu ayidei eruv shemo yishkach v'yishat b'vo'o, we're afraid that from carrying them from wherever he was to his house, even as far as Hotsa'a, there is no problem. That's what is added by Afilo Aidei Eruv. So we're not dealing here with an issue of Hotsa'a, but we're dealing rather with a Chashash Schita. The fear of coming to squeezing out is so extreme that if you are alone and any individual towel has very little water in it, don't carry it around. In stark contrast to this, the Mishnah goes on, Aval asora b'nei odom, mistapkin ba'alon tisachas, p'nei midayim v'agleyim, u'mavin oson b'yodon. 10 people drying themselves all together with one towel. In other words, one towel used by 10 different people. You can imagine they're quite saturated. Nevertheless, since there are 10 people there, or since there are a lot of people, they can bring the towel inside, and there's no chashash of schita, because if one starts or gives the impression that he's going to wring it out, the others are there to remind him at Shabbos you can't wring it out. Sochin u mimashmishin. Sochin is to smear oil on. Mimashmishin is a type of massage. Rashi says, "Mashin biyad al kol haguf lehanoa." It has to do with literally is the feeling around by one's hand over his entire body for pleasurable purposes. So, sochin umemashmashin is allowed to be done on Shabbos. It is a smearing of oil and we'll call it a light massage. Avalo misamlin. Misamlin, according to Rashi, is a strenuous massage. Velo misgarin. Rashi says, this is a reference to combing oneself, which is called an uvda d'chol. We're not talking about combing one's hair per se, but it might be a type of brush that one passes over his body. That's something not to be done on Shabbos because it's too weekday-like. Ein yordin l'kurdima. One should not descend into the river Kurdima on Shabbos, and the Gemara will explain why. Ve'ein oisin apiktvizin. The process of apiktivism is to cause vomiting. One is not to do that on Shabbos. The ein me'atzvin es akoton. This is explained by Rashi, the second line from the bottom, shemisaknin umiyashin atzmoisa v'chulyosh droso kemidas tzalmo. This has to do with something that sounds a bit chiropractic, if you will, but it's an adjustment of a baby's spine so that it sits properly to the proper size or body dimensions that the child represents. in the process of giving birth, infants will come out in a contorted or out of shape fashion. Therefore, these procedures are necessary, but not to do it on Shabbos. Ein machzirin es hashever, a bone that broke. So to reset the broken bone is not to be done on Shabbos. Rashi adds that which we've mentioned in the past numerous times: all medicinal or remedial activity done to a body is forbidden because of exera mishum shchikas samonim, the fear of coming to actual preparation of medicines on Shabbos, which involves a Torah level violation of grinding. The Mishnah continues, Misha nifriko yodo viraglo, a person whose arm or leg became dislocated, lo yitrafeim b'tzonein. Yitrafeim is an action done that's associated with the beating of eggs. So it's a type of, let's say, maybe swishing around of the dislocated limb in cold water. Apparently, that would help to reset it. So one is not to do that on Shabbos. However, one can wash himself in the normal way he would wash himself. And if the limb gets reset by the way, then that's okay. The Gemara. Katoni mei ma'ora dumya demei teveria. The presentation in the mission of mei ma'ora is taught together with the mei teveria. So by way of context, we come to the conclusion that the mei ma'ora is like the mei teveria. Ma mei teveria chamin, just like the springs of Tiberias are hot springs. Af mei ma'ora chamin, so to the mei ma'ora referred to here is hot water. We're not saying they're hot springs, but it's water that was heated. And Tosfos makes this point explicitly. The second to last Tosfos, af mei ma'ora chamin shehuchmu be'ur, waters that were heated up by fire, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. However, as far as the allowance to bathe on Shabbos in Mei Ma'ora versus Mei Teveria, there is a difference. So that the term Horochets, which opens the Mishnah, that term indicates something that's Bidi'avad, meaning only post facto allowed, not as a first choice. That is true with regard to the Mei Ma'ora. But Mei Teveria, as we've learned earlier in this Masichta, the gezeira of bathing was not said or didn't stick with regard to Mei Teveria. The Mishnah points out what we just said. The Gemara, that is, points out the word horochets equals dieved in lechatchila loni. Post facto, however, lechatchila no, but not as a first choice. One is not to to use or to go into a pool of heated water on Shabbos to bathe. But now, that horochets indicates bathing, as opposed to showering. Showering is a situation where water is poured over an individual. So we can infer, michlal is an expression meaning draw an inference, or a deduction, that the lehishtatef, or at the top of omid beis, lehishtatef kol gufo, afilu lechatchila shapir domi. But to shower oneself, even though you're using waters that were heated up, that were fire heated, that one could use. Of course, when we speak about heated up by fire, we're talking about they were heated up, let's say, on Friday, and their heat was preserved through Shabbos. We're not giving license to boiling up water on Shabbos, heaven forbid. But we're talking about using heated water as opposed to hot spring water. So in the context of heated water, true, rochets is forbidden, but lishtatev kol gufo, which is less significant, that would be allowed, even using heated water. Money, who would say such a thing? Answer, Rabbi Shimon he. This would be in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. The Sanya, a Tanaic source that presents a couple of Tanaic opinions, says, Lo yishtatif adam bein b'chamin bein b'tzonein, divrei Rabbi Meir. One shall not shower, not with hot and not even with cold water. Rabbi Shimon Matir. So what you can see with our markings, we try to highlight the words yishtatif and the word chamin and Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is a middle ground. He says, "Bechamin osur, betzonein mutter." So where Rabbi Meir forbids all showering, Rabbi Shimon allows all types of showering. Rabbi Yehuda strikes a type of compromise and says, "Hot water, no, and cold water is allowed." The Gemara continues on And on the side, we look at our nosei heading, the topic heading, Be'inyin chashash schita, betiltul mageves rituva. The topic being the fear of coming to squeezing out when you are carrying around a wet towel. So the Gemara says, quotes the Mishnah, v'nistapik afilu be'eser an lontios. The Mishnah spoke about, actually gave us two cases of one person who used 10 towels, and then we saw 10 people who used one towel. The Gemara points out which we alluded to in our reading of the Mishnah, and we call this piece of Gemara a long point, as is illustrated by the nun encircled, the long point marking. Reisha Rabusa Kamashmalon, the beginning of the Mishnah, the one person with 10 towel case, tells us a Rabusa, a Chiddush, a point of novelty, usually something that you wouldn't have thought on your own, but the Mishnah is telling it to us. And the Seifa Rabusa Kamashulan, and the Seifa case with the 10 people using one towel also has a point of novelty to it. And the Gemara spells it out. Reisha Rabusa Kamashulan, the case of the one person with 10 towels, the Afilu Hani Delo Nefishi Bumaya, even these towels that don't have a lot of water in it, Kevon dechad, who, since it's one person, he's alone, osi lidei schita, there is a fear, albeit far-fetched, but there is a fear that he may come to squeeze out, and there's no one to remind him not to. V'sefer abusa kamashmulon, the case of the 10 people and one towel, also has a chiddush. Afilu hani de nefishi bumaya, even these that have a lot, nefishi means a lot of water in them, Kevon deravim ninu, since there are many people there, midkiri ahadodi. Midkiri means to remind. It would remind one another. Tanu rabbanon, mistapeg odom ba'alotis umanicho b'chalon. A person can dry himself with a towel and put it on his windowsill. Velo yimsirenu lulayrin, but not give the towel to the bath attendant. And all of this is taking place on Shabbos. One is not to give the towel to the Olirin, the bath attendants, because they are suspect of squeezing out. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mistapeg Balontis Achas Umavia Biyado Lesoch Beso. Notice Rabbi Shimon is very lenient and says that a person can dry himself with a towel and carry, doesn't have to just put it to the, just leave it immediately in the next windowsill, but rather he can carry it to his house. Of course, we're talking about a case where there's no hotzah violation, no isur hotzah taking place, but as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, the chashash schita doesn't play a role. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Hilchis Amai, what is the halacha? Notice we've seen, especially in this last source, we see two different extreme opinions. The Tanakhama is saying you might use the towel, but you've got to put it right in the window that's in the wall of the merchas right next to you after you dried yourself off. Don't carry it around. And Rav Shimon says, by all means, you can carry it around. So what's the halacha? Omar Lei, Rav Yosef responds, Ha Rabbi Shimon, a lot of names appear here, Ha Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbi, Ha Shmuel, Ha Rabbi Yochanan, all of these opinions are lenient. And the Gemara, with our markings, you can see we have triangles that highlights each one of these names where their point of leniency will be brought out. Rabbi Shimon Hodamar. Well, we just saw Rabbi Shimon in the source, and if that's not clear, then why not use the arrow that we've inserted to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text? And you can see at point you can align it with the arrow above where Rabbi Shimon allowed the carrying of the towel, even though you used it for drying yourself and it absorbed water. Rabbi Desanya, the Rabbi leniency. Omar Rebbe, Kishayunu Lemeidim Torah Eitzel Rebbe Shimon B'Tkoa. Tkoa is the name of a place. When we were learning Torah by Rebbe Shimon, Hayinu Malin Shemen V'Alontis, and we've dashed underline Alontis, that's the towel, Mechotzer Legag, from the courtyard to the roof, umegag lekarbif atshe yinu magian etzel ma'ayon shehoyinu rochas inbo. The allusion to these different areas, the courtyard, the roof, the karpif is an enclosed area, enclosed with a fence, indicates that as far as Iser Hotzah is concerned, there is no problem as long as you're not going from a private domain into a public domain, but going from these, from one to the other of these kinds of domains is allowed according to this approach. There are different approaches in Hilchus Shabbos with regard to this matter. So Rebbe explains that that's what they did until they got to the Ma'ayon. The Ma'ayon is the spring that we bathed in. But the point is actually it's Rashi brings out the main point, because as far as the source is concerned, all it describes is they're bringing a towel to Rabbi Shimon. Rashi adds, "Umistama lo hayu manichim oisa al hamayon b'malkum hefker." It's most likely they didn't leave the towel in a place of hefker, as an unguarded place where just anyone could come along and take it. We're not talking about disposable towels over here, so. As Rashi says, they also brought it back. What the point is that the carrying of a used towel is okay. Shmuel, what about him and his leniency? The Amar of Yudah Amar Shmuel, Mistapik Odom Valdontis, Umavio Piyoto, Lesoch Beso. Just like we've been learning, dry yourself with a towel and bring it into your house. You can carry it into your house. You don't have to leave it where you dried yourself off. Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar Rabbi Chiyo Barab Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Mistape Godem Balontus, Mavia, Piyodo, Lesoch, Beso. And he too says the same thing. The Gemara asks me, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, the Omar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kestam Mishneh, Utnan. Well, did Rabbi Yochanan really say thusly? Is it not so that Rabbi Yochanan rules like the Stam Mishneh, the unnamed Mishnah, in which it says, Vinistape gafilu beser alontios, one who dried himself even with 10 different towels, lo yaviam biyado, he is not to bring them in. And this, of course, was our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is quite restrictive, and Rabbi Yochanan rules like that. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say what he did on the first wide line, that a person can dry himself and carry the towel in? The Gemara responds, Ahu keben chachinoi masni law. When Rabbi Yochanan learned our Mishnah, he didn't learn it as a stam, unnamed Mishnah. An unnamed Mishnah, generally speaking, is authoritative. It's called a stam Mishnah. But he had a name associated with our Mishnah, namely Ben Chachinoi. And as such, it's not authoritative, and rather, Rabbi Yochanan is lenient, as we said. Amar Bchiyo Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'ulayrin Mevien Balore Noshim Lebei Boni. Ulayrin, we saw this word before, those are the bath attendants. Mevien, in this case, literally means that they carry, but they wore the towels. Balore Noshim are the towels or sheets that women would dry themselves with. So they cloaked themselves in these sheets to bring it to the Bay Bunny, to the bathhouse. Ubilvad she iskasa bohen roishon v'rubon. In order to be called derech malbush, it would have to cover their heads and the majority of their body. Otherwise, if they simply, say, rolled the towels up and slung them around over their shoulders or around their necks, that would be not derech malbush. That would be the way of carrying and not the way of wearing. Sachnisa tzorech likashir shnei rosheha lamata. Rashi, he explains what a sachnisa is. Rashi says, sudar gadol. Rashi you'll find in the upper quarter of the page, is a sudar gadol shetolui lo bein seifav v'rosho atuf bo. As we saw at the beginning of our shir, a sudar is a type of head turban, but this is a very large piece of fabric that, after he wraps his head, the edges of this turban fall down over one's shoulders. So the Gemara says that one has to lekasher shnei roshel is to tie the two ends of this sachnisa one to the other so that it shouldn't fall from his head. And now this comment that was that we just learned, Tzorach Lekasher Shnei Roshel Lamata, the Gemara clarifies it. Omer Abchir Bar Avon Rabbi Yochanan Lamata Miksefayim means below his shoulders. Omer Luhu Rava Livnei Mechuza. Rava said to the people of Mechuza, Mechuza is the name of a place, Ki Ma'avrisu Moni Livnei Chela, when you transport clothing to the B'nai Chela, to the king's troops. And of course we're talking on Shabbos, and there was a governmental requirement of different localities to offer support to the king's troops that were in constant movement from community to community. So when they came to Mechuza, Rava instructed his townspeople with regard to the transporting of clothing to the B'nai Chela, Sharbivu Behu Lamata Miksefayim, make sure that the capes or the cloaks are extended below your shoulders so that it gives the impression that you're wearing them, as opposed to if they were all rolled up and slung around your necks, that would not be allowed. Sochen u'mimash machine. We're going to discuss the issue now of the massage. Tana Rabbanan, Sochen u'mimash machine b'vnei me'ayim b'shabbos. One can smear oil and massage the b'nei me'ayim would be the abdominal area on Shabbos, uvavashli yase keder shu osa b'chol, provided he does it in a changed fashion, a way that he wouldn't do it during the weekday. Heichi ovit. So the Gemara asks, what should he do to do it in the changed form? Two approaches. Number one, Rav Chama bar Chanina Omar, soch v'achar kach mimashmesh. First, smear the oil on, and then do the massaging. He is of the opinion that during the weekdays, they would first do a massage and then smear in the oil. So this order change represents the required shinui, the required difference. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, soch u'memashmish bevas achas. Rabbi Yochanan says it would be sufficient. In other words, he doesn't say change the order, but if you, as you're massaging, the oil is applied, that's okay. Avol lo misamlin. The misamlin, we explained, was the more intense type massage. Omer b'chiyah bar avo, omer b'yochan, osur lamod b'karki iso shel dyumsis. Dyumsis was the name of a river. So he says that it's also, it's forbidden to stand on the floor of this river, this river had a very salty river bed to it, and as a result, it increased heat. It was a heat-producing element, and it also had a therapeutic value to it. Rashi says, the Gemara says, "Umerape shatit maluach." The tit is the silt at the bottom of this bed was salty. So taking all these points into consideration, you're dealing with something that was therapeutic, and as we mentioned before, such things are restricted with regard to Shabbos because of the Isser of, or the Gzeira Mishum Shchika Samimonim. Omer Vihuda, Omer Rav, Kol Yomeh Ashil Dyumsis Esrim Vechod Yom. The therapeutic characteristic of the river is not year long. Only 21 days of the year is there remedial value to this river. Atzeres min aminyan. When we speak about the 21 days during the year, let it be known that Atzeres is Shavuos is one of the 21 days. The Gemara asks, "Ibayaloh atzeres lahai giso lahai giso?" You say that atzeres, which is another name for shvuas, is one of the 21 days. Is it at this end or that end? And namely, is it at the beginning or the end of the 21 days? Toshma, the Omar Shmuel. The Gemara attempts to answer this question by the following statement of Shmuel. And one should be aware that Shmuel was a doctor. In fact, he was Rebbe's physician. So Shmuel says, "Kulu shakaini." Shekaini comes from the word lahashkos. It's, these are beverages or liquids that were healthful or remedial. So all medicinal beverages, midivcha viad atzarta malu, if you take them, divcha is Pesach, until atzeres, until Shavuos, they are beneficial. The point for us is that you see that atzeres, Shavuos, is at the end of the time period of that which is therapeutic. With medicines, you could see it would be a 50-day period of time with the liquid medicines. And with regard to the river that we're talking about, it would be the end of the 21 days. That is, Shavuos would be the end of the 21 days, the end point. The Gemara rejects this and says, Dilma Hossa, maybe in the case of the Shakaini, the liquid medicines. Dilma hosam hu dekama dekorir almo mali. The colder the environment is, things are better, more beneficial. So that Shavuos being at the, we'll say the, it comes out on the solar calendar in the June period of time, say late May, early June period of time. So that gives you a certain fix on the season, so that Shavuos would be a time that things are heating up. So up till that time, things were cooler. So in the case of the Shekaini, we're striving to have a cooler environment, thereby Shavuos being the end point. Aval Hocha, with regard to the Dyunsis River, Mishum Hevlahu, its benefit is in its heat. Hevla is the heat. Kevon de chomim alma tfei mali. Maybe there the warmer things are, the better it is. And if that were the case, then Shavuos would be the beginning point of time as the environment heats up as you continue beyond Shavuos more and more. Amar bichelbo chamra de frugaiso umaya de dyumsis kipchu aseres hashvatim Yisrael. We will go over this line, but on the side, under our topic heading, we've written limona mi meshicha achar divrei hana. The Gemara is recommending restraint from those items, activities, etc., that are pleasure producing. In other words, there's nothing wrong with enjoying something. However, to seek out, to pursue pleasurable, pleasure-producing or pleasure-seeking, that's something that has its boundaries or restrictions, as the Gemara will illustrate. So, maybe just one more word of introduction. The line we read but didn't explain yet made reference to the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim is a reference to the 10 of 12 tribes that, we'll say, left traditional practice, to put it mildly. And to appreciate this, one would really have to learn the Tanakh to see what took place after the kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech split and followed Yerovam ben Nevat and his successors. So the Aseres HaShvatim, they're also featured, by the way, in a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Sanhedrin, which brings into question, will they be part of the eventual redemption? So the Aseres HaShvatim are used here as to characterize those that that left the fold. So Reb Chelbo says the chama de Furgaisa, this is chama's wine. The Furgaisa is a region that produces very desirable quality wines. So the wine of Frugaisa and Maya de Dumsis. Now Dumsis we made reference to just a couple lines above, the river that had therapeutic and seems pleasurable value to it. Kipchu means cut off or shortened the 10 tribes from Israel. And as we said before, let's take a look at Rashi even better. Kipchu aseres hashvatim shoy balei hanov ve'asukim bekach. They were people that enjoyed pleasurable things and were involved with it. Velohu asuk oskin b'torah. They didn't involve themselves with Torah. V'yatzu l'tar b'sra. And as a result, they went to a they went off the path. They went to bad ways. Just by way of general, we'll say Judaism. Judaic philosophy, Judaism is not opposed to experiencing pleasure. But what we are talking about is the constant involvement in the pursuit of pleasure. Two different things. So that enjoyment of something is quite allowed. In fact, there are comments in Chazal addressing in quite critical terms people who abstain from pleasure, from enjoying things, who forswear benefiting from things. However, we're not talking about the momentary enjoyment of items, but rather the constant involvement, making that one's life's goal of pursuit of physical pleasure. It goes without saying that the pursuit of spiritual pleasure is a totally different story. We need not elaborate on that. And the study of Torah, Judaism claims and life experience will support, it represents truly the ultimate in pleasure, called extreme pleasure. That having been said, we continue in the Gemara with a very, very dramatic story. Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch, he was one of the most prominent of our Tanaic figures. Ikla lahosam, he went there. In the we just mentioned Frugaisa and the Dumsis. Well, he went there. Rashi says to Frugaisa and to Dumsis. Imshich basrayhu, and he was drawn after the wine and the bathing. The Gemara does not indicate to us that Rebbe Elazar was seeking out to pursue the pleasures, but at least he was curious about it. He wanted to check it out, if you will. Even that one can question. It just says, and all the Gemara says is that he went there. What his purpose in going there is not revealed by the Gemara, but what is revealed is that the pleasure that these things produced was so great that he was drawn after it. Imshich basrayhu. Yaker Talmudei. And as a result, he forgot his Torah learning. This is a man that represents the greatest of our people. Kihodar also, when he came back, Kom Lemikri Besafra, he got up to read a pasuk from the Torah. He wanted to read a pasuk in Shmos, Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem, but it didn't come out the right way. Omar, and he ended up reading it, and notice the changes here. Hachiresh Hoya Libam would mean their hearts were deaf. The word Hachodesh, the Dalin, became a resh in his mind, and Lachem, the Chof, became a bays. The difference between these letters is a very, very, very fine difference, but it makes all the difference. So that what might be alluded to here is even this pleasure involvement, even if it doesn't seem to produce a dramatic change, the small change that it could produce could have dramatic results. What more is there to say other than this is a very, I would say, almost a frightening type Gemara, where you have a person of this magnitude who seem to have just a minor level exposure to these pleasures, but what effect that could have. So that a person should never be sure of himself. As the Gemara in Bracha says, that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and at the end he went off. And from that we learn that a person should not have too much self-confidence when it comes to the confrontation with the realm of pleasure-producing items. So the story continues. Bo Rabbanan Rachmiyale, the rabbis had they had a great sense of compassion, and they prayed for him. V'hadar Talmud, as a result of prayers, which in my mind represents divine involvement, his Torah learning was restored. V'hainu Disnan, and it's with this in mind that we have the following Mishnah from Maseches Avos. Reb Nehoroi, you'll notice that we've dashed underline Reb Nehoroi, and at the end of this source you have the appearance of the name Reb Elazar ben Aruch, and that's the connection. Reb Nehoroi Omer, have a goyla lemokum Torah. A person should exile himself, if need be, to a place of Torah. V'al tomar shi tovo acharecha. Don't think that the Torah is going to follow you. Rashi offers a profound commentary. Have a goyla lemokum Torah in Talmud Chacham Ata. If you are a Torah scholar, you're a Torah personality. Al teishev ela b'mokom tamidi chachamim chaverecha. Dwell only in a place where your colleagues dwell as well. The al tomar, and don't think tamidim heim yavo elai v'dai li b'kach mama eheya goyla. That people that I can live. Don't think that one like that can live in isolation from other Talmidei Chachamim. And as far as one's Torah learning is concerned, well, people will come to learn from me, and that is enough. Not so. The Mishnah continues, Shechaverecha yikaimua biyodoch. Rashi says, Shechaverecha yikaimua biyodoch, shetehe rogil etzlam, you shall be common or regular by them. Ukshe tishne maseches achas, and when you learn one masichta, one tractate, v'heim acheres, and they're learning another tractate, tishmana, you will hear what they're learning, v'teis dura b'ficha, and that way you'll gain fluency in other areas, v'al tishtakach imena, and you won't forget that which you learned. What my impression from this Rashi is that you might be today learning one Masichta, but as time goes on, you're going to be learning a different Masichta. What about the one that you learned in the past? So by being in an environment of Talmidei Chachamim, other people will be learning that which you learned in the past, and by your hearing what they're learning, that will serve as a type of review for you. You're overhearing what they are learning, and therefore that which you learned in the past will not be forgotten. So Rashi is adding why, and there's an answer to a question that one might have asked. One might have asked, based on what the Gemara says, I believe in Maseches Markus, possibly elsewhere, that it's described, U'mai Talmida Yosu Mikulam, I learned the most from interaction with Talmidim. So if that Maimer Chazal were taken in isolation, one would say, well, it's true one learns from his rabbis, more from his friends, and even more from his Talmidim, that Talmidim would be the ultimate. So that what would be wrong with saying, I'll just live in a place of isolation and have Talmidim students come to me, that would be the ultimate. So what our Gemara here and Rashi are answering is not so. You need to have the colleagues as well, because talmidim will help sharpen what you are currently learning, but they're not going to help with regard to that which you learned in the past. Only by being in an environment of others that are learning other things, so that which you learned in the past will be constantly refreshed for you through their learning. That's what we just learned in the Gemara of Shechaveirecho Yikaimu Abiyodach. We continue, Ve'el Binoscho Al Tishan. Rashi says, Ve'el Binoscho Al Tishan, Lomar, person should not rely on himself to say, Chochom Godol Ani V'Zachron, I'm a great man and I have a great memory. Ukshechzer Perigzel Masechazu Lo Tishtaka Chaverta Mimeni. And when I learn this perek, and I review it, so the other one that I learned won't be forgotten because I have a great memory. Don't live life like that. We continue, Tana, we have been taught, Lo Rabbi Noro Yishmo, El Rabbi Nechem Yishmo, the man's name that opened this source was not really Rabbi Nehoroi, but the rabbi's name was Rabbi Nechemio. The Amri Law, another version is Rabbi Lozer Ben Aroch Shmo. The Loma Nikra Shmo Rabbi Nehoroi. Why would Rabbi Lozer Ben Aroch be called Rabbi Nehoroi? Shemanhir Einei Chachomim Ba'alocha. Because Manhir, he enlightens the eyes of others, of the wise men, through Halacha. So you can see this source, how appropriate the story before is, in light of, if you enjoy the pun, of the focus or the character that was featured in the story, namely Rabbi Elazar ben Aroch. And the bottom line, once again, even though we are sounding a bit repetitive, but the bottom line is to avoid a lifestyle that is centered around the pursuit of physical pleasure seeking. Avolo Mizgarin. The Mishnah made reference to the prohibition of using a body brush, if you will, to rub down one's body. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Gorin B'Megareres B'Shabbos. One is not to scrape himself or rub himself with a Megareres, this type of body brush. Shimon Lil Omer, Im Hoyu Raglov Miluchlochus Betit Ubitsoa, if a person's feet were dirty by mud or feces, Gorer Kedarko V'eino Choshish, he can use this body brush to clean himself off and not worry. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Avdolei Ime Megararto de Kaspa. Rav Shmuel's mother made for him a silver brush for Shabbos, something in honor of Shabbos, so that this would accomplish the differentiation that we were trying to make. When we learned Rashi on the Mishnah, he mentioned that the objection to Mizgarin was Uvda the Chol. It was a weekday type practice. It could be that this represents an answer, a solution to that, that by having a special Shabbos Megareres, it would be okay. That, though, is a point that needs further analysis. Ein Yordin leKordima v'chule. My time, what is the problem with descending into the Kordima River? Mishum Pika. Rashi points out, this has to do with its slippery characteristic. Rashi says, Tit shel oisa nohar machlik. The riverbed, the mud of that river was slippery. Ubigdei ha'adam nishorin b'mayim kshunofel. And the clothing that a person is wearing when he falls into the water will then become soaked. V'osi lidei schiton. He may come to wring them out. And that, of course, would be a Shabbos violation. The Gemara continues, V'in oisin apiktvizin b'Shabbos. This has to do with the prohibition of causing vomiting. Omar Rabo Barchana Omar Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shonu El Besam. The objection is only using some type of medicine or potion that generates the vomiting. Avol Biyad Mutter. But for one to insert his hand or his finger into his throat and cause the vomiting, that is okay. Tanya, Rabbi Nechemia, Omer Ach B'chol Aser. Rabbi Nechemia says that Apek Tevizin is Aser even during the weekdays. Mitnei Hefsid Oichlin. Rashi explains, Mitnei Hefsid Oichlin. Hefsid is causing the loss of food. She B'meyav, the food that he ate is now going to exit him. As a result of that, he's going to become hungry and eat more. So you see that you're just causing loss by activating the vomiting reaction. As far as the Mishnah is concerned and Rabbi Bar Bachana's explanation, the whole problem was using the medicine, and Rashi says that's domi lerefuah, that looks like a therapeutic practice. And regarding that type of behavior, we run into the gzeira, the prohibition of shchika samonim, of coming to grinding medicines. So that if the whole concern is one of a remedial or medicinal nature, then apik tvizin by hand would be allowed. Rabbi Nechemia, though, says that the objection to apik tvizin is beyond the issue of something therapeutic or something medicinal, and therefore, even by hand, it would be prohibited. The aim of atzmin is a koton. Omar Rabba Babarchana Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lefufe Yenuka B'Shabbos Shapir Domi. Lefufe is the wrapping around of a newborn shortly after it's born to keep its limbs straight and in place and not bend out of shape. The Gemara asks, V'anan T'nan Ein Ma'atzvin, but did we not learn in the Mishnah that one is not to do that type of thing? So the Gemara answers, Hasan b'chomri shedro demechzi keboine. The Ein Ma'atzvin of the Mishnah had to do with the readjusting of a vertebrae of the spine, and that looks like construction. Therefore, the Mishnah says Ein Ma'atzvin. However, to wrap a child in cloth to keep it from going out of shape, that would be allowed. Vein machzirin es hashever. The Mishnah spoke about not resetting a broken bone. Omar Rabbi Chano Bagdisaw, Omar Shmuel, Rabbi Chano from Baghdad, possibly. Bagdisaw is the name of a place. Quoting Shmuel says, and we continue at the top of Kuf Mem Ches Omen Aleph, Halacha machzirin es hashever. So you have a ruling here that is in diametric opposition to the Mishnah. And you'll ask, well, how could that be? So Rashi at the top explains, Sevira leg l'Shmuel machzirin tnan. Shmuel was of the opinion that the text of the Mishnah was the opposite. And rather, instead of saying ein machzirin, it says machzirin, that you are able to reset the broken bone. Rabba Bar Chana ikla lepumpnisa. Rabba Bar Chana visited, or he went to, the town of Pumpnisa. We should point out that Pumpnisa was a known Torah center. There was a yeshiva there, and lo ol lepirkei de Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the Rav of Pumpnisa, and he had a public Torah lecture that he gave. And Rabba, who visited Pumpnisa, did not go to Rav Yehuda's shiur. Shadre la'ado daila. Shadre means he sent. That's Rav Yehuda sent. Ado daila is an appointed individual, a type of servant or butler capacity. So Ado was sent in service of Rav Yehuda. Omalei Rav Yehuda said, Zil Garve, go and grab him by his clothing until he comes. In other words, Rav Yehuda was very interested in Rabba Bar Bachana being present during that's Rav Yehuda's lecture. Ozal Garve. So Ado cooperated and drew Rabba into the shir. Also, Rabba came, Ashkechei de Kadorish Ein Machzirin Es Hashever. So Rabbi Bar Chana heard Rav Yehuda teaching a law like our Mishnah reflects, namely, one is not allowed to reset the bone on Shabbos. Omar Lei, Rabbi Bar Chana then spoke up and said, Hochi Omar Rav Chana Bag Disomar Shmuel, Halacha Machzirin Es Ashever. In other words, quite the opposite. And as Rashi said, the text should be in the positive, that one is allowed to reset it. Amar Lei, Rav Yehuda, upon hearing this, says, Ha Chana Didan, Va Shmuel Didan. Mind you, Rav Chana Magdisa and Shmuel come from our place. Didan means they're from our location. Velo Shmueli, and I didn't hear this from them. I'm hearing it for the first time from you. The law of Bedinoch Garvatich, is it not therefore so justified that I dragged you into the Shiur? In other words, without you, so we wouldn't have known what they hold. So it was a good thing that I sent Ayla Ada to drag you in. Mi Shenifrika Yodoy V'chulei. We saw in the Mishnah that one whose arm or leg became dislocated, one should not stir it with force in cold water in an attempt to have it reset. So the Gemara, Rav Avi Ahave Yosef Kamed Rav Yosef. Rav Avi was seated in the presence of Rav Yosef. Shanyo le yodei. And his hand, Shanyo, it became different, but it would mean that his hand became dislocated. It wasn't in the same position or in the normal position. Amar Lei, Rav Avi asked Rav Yosef, Hochi mai, what about doing this? And Rashi says, Hoy oise binyonim harbe v'shoil, he would do different types of motions and ask, what would the din be with regard to this? Osir. And it's fairly obvious from this story that this was not on, the actual incident wasn't on Shabbos, because he wouldn't start doing things that might be a Shabbos violation, but it was during the weekday, and he was asking, what about doing this? If it were done on Shabbos, what would the din be? So Rav Yosef said, Osir. V'hochi mai, what about this? Omale Osir. Adohochi ispach yodei. In the meantime, his hand got better. Amalei, Rav Yosef says, "My tiboy aloch, what's your question? Ha tnan, have we not learned? Mi shenifriko yodoi oy ragloi, a person whose hand or leg became dislocated, lo yitrufeim bitsonein, one should not beat them in cold water." We say beat them, it has to do with this, we call rapid, forceful motion in cold water. But if a person chooses to wash himself for the sake of washing in a normal washing fashion, and through that the hand gets repositioned, then so be it, then it's okay. So Rav Yosef is asking Rav Avia, why are you even bothering asking me a question about something whose answer seems to be obvious, as it is taught in a Mishnah? And that is that to take remedial action would be something forbidden. Omar Lei, Rav Avia says in response, if you ask me why am I asking, the lo tna, did we not learn Ein Machzirin Es HaShever, the Mishnah had said one is not allowed to reset a broken bone. The Omar Rav Chana Bagdiso Omar Shmuel Halacha Machzirin Es HaShever. And as a result of, let's say, Amoraic analysis or discussion or research, it became clear that the Mishnah text is not the way to go, but rather the opposite. And that is, in the case of the broken bone and it's being reset, that one is allowed to do it. So I'm asking you about a dislocated limb, and true, the Mishnah says not to take, preemptive actions to reset it, but yet maybe in fact, is the opposite, and one is allowed to take a preemptive action to reset it. Amar Lei, Rav Yosef responds to Rav Avya and says, Kulu b'chado machiso machisnu. Do you think that all these Mishnayos are taught in the same breath, so to speak? The word machisa has to do with something that's woven. Are they all woven as part of the same fabric, so to speak? Rather, heicha di itmar itmar, where there is an explicit Amoraic statement that the Mishnah is not accurate. So there it is said that the Mishnah is not to be relied upon, but rather there's another more reliable girsa. As in fact, Rav Chana Bar Dasa said in the name of Shmuel regarding the resetting of a broken limb. However, Hecha Dolo Itmar, however, where you don't have an explicit Amoraic statement regarding the inaccuracy of a Mishnah, as we don't have such a statement regarding the dislocated limb, so lo itmar, it hasn't been said. So all you have to go on is what the Mishnah says. And the Mishnah is quite clear that one is not allowed to take a preemptive, to make a preemptive action to reset a dislocated limb. And therefore, Rav Yosef will say, justifying his wonderment at why Rav Avya was even asking him the question in the first place. That represents the end of Perek Chavis, the 22nd Perek of Shabbos, and during our next shiur, Mirtz Hashem, we will start Perek Shoel, the 23rd Perek. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.